years ahead of the dominant media. FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
What is Bible prophecy? Simply put, Bible prophecy is God-given history in advance. Please stay tuned. Your prophecy reality update is just ahead. Well, good day, everyone, everywhere. And special greetings to all us seated in heavenly places in Jesus. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and this is a live prophecy reality edition. So if you're hearing me on a Wednesday morning, it is live. So come on over to the chat room at First Amendment Radio or on Rumble. And join the conversation, and you could actually be the first one to jump into the chat room today because nobody is here yet. Except me. But I do have a show planned, and I'm going to, last week we talked about the Kings of the East judgment that's coming on the face of the earth, well, against Western Christendom. And this week I thought I'd talk about the next judgment, but having to do with the whore that rides the beast and chapter 17 of the Revelation. And I will be using Revelation chapter 17 and my book, An Exposition of the Revelation, of the same chapter, because I wrote a chapter after an introductory chapter. I wrote a chapter for each chapter of the Revelation in that book. And it's one of my best-selling books right now, and has been for quite a while. Let's bring up the Revelation first from our King James Bible here. And Revelation 17:1 says, "And there came out of one of the seven angels which had the seven vials." And if you remember, chapter 16 is one of the chronology, the chapters of the chronologies of the Revelation. There are three chronologies given in the book of Revelation for the future things that would shortly come to pass in 95 AD. Of course, the first chronology being the seals, which shortly came to pass. About the year 98 AD, we see the Nervan, I said the Trajan dynasty last week, but Trajan was the second in the Nervan dynasty. So it was the Nervan dynasty that ruled for 80 or 90 years, beginning about 98. And what precipitated John being let go from his Patmos prison also precipitated the change in the government and a new dynasty that would rule in Rome several years later and rule for about 80 to 90 years. And it was signified by the symbol of a rider on a white horse with a bow. And we talked a little bit about that last week. And so one after another, all of the seals were open and filled the portion of history up until the fall of the Roman Empire. Yeah. Until Imperial Rome fell and was taken out of the way, and the kingdom divided into 10. And then the Antichrist rose and dominated the locality of Western and Eastern Europe for 1,260 years, but primarily Western Europe. Of course, we had the break off of the Orthodox Church in the East, okay, which is also part of history. But primarily, the whore that rides the beast primarily ruled in Western Europe and was and had her location in the Little Horn locality, the Little Horn being a further division of one of the Ten Horns, and being, of course, the city of Rome, from which Imperial Rome ruled until Imperial Rome fell And then religious Rome ruled, the apostate whore with blasphemy written on her, you know, written on her head, signifying that apostate Christianity would be ruling supreme throughout the Western European theater. But ruling from the Vatican at Rome instead of the imperial Roman rule. So we saw that take place. And that closes the section of the seals and opens up the trumpets from there on. And then the trumpets, the second chronology that fills up the things that would shortly come to pass, and be the things which must be hereafter and shortly come to pass. So you have the second chronology of the trumpets, and then the third chronology of the vials, which we are into, and we were talking about the vials last week, and that chronology is found in the previous chapter, Revelation chapter 16. So there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Okay? The kings of the earth committing fornication with the great whore church. Of course, it being typified as a whore and a woman, because in the Revelation we see that a woman represents the church. And in this case, the woman is a whore, so she represents the apostate church. And so we have a church that is overstepping the bounds of church government and stepping into the theater of secular government of the nations, okay? Committing fornication, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And this fornication, though she ruled supreme for 1260 years, received a deadly head wound. And what was the result of the deadly head wound? Well, the result of the deadly head wound was the going forth of the gospel to all the nations of the earth. And the symbol for that was the angels flying through the heavens, carrying, and of course the heavens are of the earth, but it's not the heaven where God exists, but it's the heavens. So going through the earth, carrying the gospel of the everlasting kingdom to the entire earth. And we had two centuries and still going on somewhat, but not as much as it was in the previous centuries. Or I don't know who can really judge how much of that missionary effort that circled the globe for two centuries, primarily the 19th and the 20th century. And that was a result of the papacy falling from its position of rulership over the kings of the earth, receiving that deadly head wound. And of course, God primarily beginning with the British Isles, which was the first to fall away when a tenth of the kingdom fell away from its papal head and started sending missionaries throughout the earth. And of course, the missionaries were men. Some of them were fallible, and some of them had the truth, but nevertheless, the gospel was spread. And then the missionary effort then picked up in the same century also in America, and has been still, and is still operating today as such as it is operating, with churches in America, many of them sponsoring, especially the Baptist churches, sponsoring missionaries from their own church or from other churches spreading the gospel still in the world. And now also we have some other nations sending missionaries back to America and the British Isles, where the gospel and the message of God's word seems to have waned, and especially in the British Isles. And we talked a little bit about that too. So you have the three chronologies. And the chronology we're in now is the seven vials chronologies. Now, chapter 17 itself is a supplemental chapter. It fills us in on the details and the characters. And so that's where we're at with chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And, you know, just discussing the chronologies, the three chronologies that make up the era from 95 AD, when the first seal is open, until Christ returns, okay? It's kind of important to be able to sit down and read it all in a setting. The book of Revelation is not that big a book, just to get the feel for it and to understand when you're reading the chronologies, you're reading the chronology that fills the era. And there's three of those chronologies, whether they're equally spaced out throughout the era, they may or may not be. It seems like the first chronology is only about 500 or 600 years. And is that what? That's about one third, you know, give or take. And so, you know, it's probably fairly even divided in the era between 95 AD and the time that Christ comes. And so, and that seems somewhat logical too. And there has to be a logic in the revelation to help us understand it. So to see the three chronologies and understand that what you read before and after the chronologies, the supplemental chapters fill in the details for the chronologies. And then it's up to us to kind of figure out where it all fits together. But praying about it and understanding these things is very helpful if you have that information beforehand, rather than all of the misinformation that is out there. So it's very important to understand the three chronologies, and it's very understand to read the whole thing so you get to feel of it. Because if you start at chapter 7, it refers to the last chapter. It says, and there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, referring to the last chapter, and the angels that had the seven vials, and the seven vial chronology. So we know that we're talking about the era of the seven vials chronology, and we're going to get details from one of the angels that had one of those vials to fill us in on the details of things that will happen during or are happening during that era, because we are in it now. Now, for people that read this before the era happened, just like Daniel was told to shut up and seal the book till the time at the end, because Daniel was given a prophecy that covered the 70 weeks era, okay? And some things were shut up until the end. It's like they didn't know until perhaps 70 literal weeks or 490 days had passed that it was a longer prophecy. They could have perhaps, and we would have done the same thing too, if we received a 490 day prophecy, as we would first look for it to be fulfilled in 490 literal days. Yeah, why not? And then when it didn't happen, we would realize, well, this must be, these days must be years. And that seems to be the way it's playing out. And I think God gave them markers in that with dividing it up into 7 weeks and 42 weeks and 1 week. Total, you know, 70 weeks. Did I say that right? 62 weeks. Yeah. Anyway, you get the idea. So that they could have figured it out by the end of the first, the 49 years, that it was a longer prophecy. But when it came to the end of it, okay, it became unsealed. And that's why the disciples were out there looking for the Messiah, because they understood the prophecy, as many did. So, okay. Oh, let's see. I also have the book here, so it'll help me with some of the answers. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The early church fathers, until the fall of imperial Rome, certainly had an argument for the city of Rome as the capital of the Roman Empire, qualifying as Babylon. But we are talking about a great apostate church here, one that sits upon many waters. The symbolic use of waters, as we have learned, represents peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, no longer confined to the old world. She can, in our day, be found on many waters, everywhere on the face of the earth, offering her counterfeit bloodless sacrifice among a multitude of other abominations. Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and abominations of the earth. Now we understand the relationship between the woman, Mystery Babylon, and the beast. She rides or controls the scarlet-colored beast, the red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns. Daniel represented her as the little horn. Her sovereign status among the nations qualifies her position among the ten horn powers, though little, that little horn being given a mouth speaking blasphemy, identifies it as a religious power. The mouth of the little horn is that of the man of sin, also called the Antichrist, who opposes the true Christ, and he is the false prophet, who takes the place of Moses' true prophet, the Messiah that Israel was waiting for. This false prophet is cast into the lake of fire with the beast, to perdition. One common theme that brings all of these symbols, little horn, man of sin, and harlot woman together, is blasphemy. Verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. No organization on the face of the earth is responsible for the death of more Bible-believing Christians than the Roman Catholic Church, with its headquarters at the Vatican. The Vatican is the little horn, and so qualifies, as it does have a sovereign status among the nations of the world, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Also consider, here we have a new vision, not as to the matter of it, for that is contemporary with what came under the last three vials, but as to the matter of description, etc. Observe, 1. The invitation given to the apostle to take a view of what was here to be represented. Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore, etc. This is a name of great infamy, the great whore. A whore, in this passage, is one that is married and has been false to her husband's bed, has forsaken the guide of her youth, and broken the covenant of her God. She had been a prostitute to the kings of the earth, with whom she had intoxicated with the wine of her fornication. The appearance she made, it was gay and gaudy, such sort of creatures. She was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Here were all the allurements of worldly honor and riches, pomp and pride, suited to sensual worldly minds, her principal seat and residence, upon the beast that had seven heads and ten horns, that is to say, Rome, the city on seven hills, infamous for idolatry, tyranny, and blasphemy. Or her name, which was written on her forehead. It was the custom of impudent harlots to hang out signs with their names, that all might know what they were. Now in this observe, first, she is named from her place of residence, Babylon the Great. But, that we might not take it for the old Babylon, literally so called, we are told there's a mystery in the name. It is some other great city resembling old Babylon. Secondly, she is named from her infamous way and practice, not only a harlot, but a mother of harlots, breeding up harlots and nursing and training them up to idolatry and all sorts of lewdness and wickedness, the parent and nurse of all false religion and filthy conversation. 5. Her diet. She satiated herself with the blood of the saints and martyrs of Jesus. She drank their blood with such greediness that she intoxicated herself with it. It was so pleasant to her that she could not tell when she had had enough of it. She was satiated, but never satisfied. Anyway, here comes a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive, that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism, by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on internet or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe, so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live Wednesday morning Prophecy Reality Edition. And yes, I did forget to start the YouTube feeds, but I'm not going to start them because I did leave a link in the chat rooms over there on the YouTube feeds to the Rumble feed, which is live right now. And we do 24/7 streaming on First Amendment Radio to Rumble. So, and I would like to get everybody off of YouTube and onto Rumble. So I think that's what I'm going to have to do, is just stop using YouTube altogether to do the broadcast live and just rely entirely on Rumble for all of my live broadcasts. So anyway, we're talking about chapter 17, yeah, that's where we're at, and talking about the whore that rides the beast, the judgment of the great whore, and the seven kings in chapter 17. We have all of these things, and that's what we're learning about. Verse 6 says, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And we discussed no organization on the face of the earth is responsible for the death of more Bible-believing Christians than the Roman Catholic Church. Yes, they would like you to forget that. They hide that part of history, though they can't hide it very well because it is notoriously part of the history of Western Europe with the Inquisitions. So they try to turn it into a joke. But it was no joke for the millions that lost their lives over 1,260 years. Okay? The Vatican is the little horn, and so qualifies, as it does have a sovereign status among the nations of the world, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Also consider, we have a new vision, not as to the matter of it, for that is contemporary with what came under the three last vials, but as to the manner of description. Yes, I believe we already covered this part, and we were well into it here. She is named from her place of residence, Babylon the Great, but that we might not take it for the old Babylon, literally so called, we are told there is a mystery in the name. It is some other great city resembling the old Babylon. She is named for her infamous way and practice, not only a harlot, but the mother of harlots, breeding up harlots and nursing up and training them up to idolatry and all sorts of lewdness and wickedness, the parent and nurse of all false religion and filthy conversation. Number 5, her diet. She is satiated with the blood of the saints and martyrs of Jesus. She drank their blood with such greediness that she intoxicated herself with it. It was so pleasant to her that she could not tell when she had enough of it. She was satiated, but never satisfied, and that bloodlust continues to this very day. That bloodlust has filled up the last two centuries. Wherever you see genocide, wherever you see millions of people dying in warfare, the death of innocents, she is there. Her and her agents are there, feeding on it. And they feed it on it with money and greed and corruption. And she is never satisfied. So it will never end until Christ returns. And he will put an end to it when he returns. And verse 7 of chapter 17, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carrieth her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall descend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, yet is." The angel here, one of the 7 angels which had the 7 vials, endeavors to answer John to John's expression of curiosity. "I wondered with great admiration at the appearance of the woman carried by the beast at this the era of the vile judgments. It was and is not, due to the judgment just poured out upon it, but it shall crawl back out of the bottomless pit, at which time the whole world, whose names were not written in the book of life, would wonder after the beast that was and is not and yet is," meaning that they, the woman upon the beast, would yet make a final appearance and or vicariously wield power before going into perdition. Verse 9. "And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition." Here the same angel continues with a retrospect view of the history of the beast to further answer to its identity. The 7 heads are 7 mountains, pointing to the capital of Rome as its seat of power. He continues, "And there are 7 kings." The word kings, rendered in the Greek, basileus, a foundation of power, so that it is not in this instance referring to an individual flesh and blood man. This is further clarified by the interchange of the term in the Greek therion, that same term used for all of the apocalyptic beast powers. So here the terms are used interchangeably. So the beast that was and is not, verse 11, is one of the 7 kings, but reappears as the 8th and goes into perdition or destruction when the King of Kings returns. Now we get more detail into the division of power represented by the horns on this beast. Verse 12, "And the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no power, which have received no kingdom as yet." About 95 AD, when John penned the Revelation, these divisions of the beast's power, represented by the 10 horns, had received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Verse 13, "These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." Some interpret the 1 hour as prophetic time. That would represent a literal period of about 2 weeks, but the context does not imply that. Chapter 18 gives even more details of the events described, where the period of time designated as one day at Revelation 18:8 is also called 1 hour in verses. In verses 10, 17, and 19, clearly indicating that the time is neither literal or precise, but rather a brief period of time without specifying its precise length. Therefore, it seems preferable to understand that the expression 1 hour here, in the same sense as signifying a brief but unspecified period of time. The retrospect continues in that the 10 horns represent the 10 and various divisions of the Roman Empire, which speedily succeeded their power to the beast and the whore which it carried. The various kings, parliaments, prime ministers, and governors of these divisions over the history of the epoch in view rarely ruled independently of the power and strength of the beast. Verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Here we look forward to the end in view for the beast's power, that is, the time foretold that it goeth into perdition, when Christ returns with all of his saints, who will never again be overcome by their enemies, but rather will overcome them. Verse 15, and he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Here the angel does regress to explain the meaning of the many waters upon which the great whore is seated. Verse 1, being a highly populated area of different nations of various languages, easily identified as Western Europe, the Old World locality of the Roman Empire at the era indicated. Verse 16, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So here we get the final judgment of the great whore, and our topic, or what we are focusing in on today, and carrying on from last week. Last week we talked about the kings of the east judgment that would come on Western Europe or Western Christendom, and I believe Western Christendom, where it has extended throughout the whole earth. And we can easily identify these nations today acting through, well, Washington, D.C., and NATO, and they are goading and prodding the kings of the East right now, not realizing that prophecy is about to be fulfilled. And they should not be messing with the kings of the East, but they are. Because, of course, Russia and China are due east of Western Europe. Okay? And the old Western European Roman Empire, which is the focus of the judgment of the kings of the East. And we're still in that locality here. But I do believe the judgments at the end extend wherever Western Christendom or apostate Western Christendom has also spread. And that would even count also apostate Protestantism. Because who is responsible more than any other, as we read here? Of course, she is the mother of harlots. So her influence in all of the nations, even in Protestant Christianity, is still her influence, because she has exercised that influence purposefully to apostatize and to corrupt the Protestant church in the world also. So she is responsible as the mother of harlots for all of the judgment that is coming on the earth and has come on the earth over the last several thousand years. Well, at least since the 5th century when Imperial Rome fell. Okay. But we also see by the use of Mystery Babylon that this false religion and apostasy and rebellion against God goes even back much further than that great whore church that she represents. Okay, let's see, where did we leave off here? And here the angel does regress. Yes, and the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, he shall hate the whore. Yeah, that's where we left off. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. And I see this as the final and complete judgment on the Vatican, and also any enclaves and outposts that it has throughout the world. It rules the world. Because remember, the city was divided into three parts upon the great earthquake of the pouring out of the seventh vial. And I believe that indicates that her power is divided into three parts over which she rules the whole world. And I believe that Washington, D.C. is that final partition of her power through which she now vicariously does rule the world, and through the image of the beast, which also exists at the same time, the image of the beast being the United Nations, of course, because what is the United Nations? But it is a governing authority over all the nations of the whole world. And the reason that it is an image of the beast, because it is the image, it is an image of the Roman Empire and how it ruled over the whole known world in the past. So today, this image, okay, rules over the whole world because, well, I guess finally the whole world is known. So not only the old world, but the new world. And everywhere on the face of the earth. But that's another chapter. It says here that God hath put into their hearts to fulfill his will. Okay, whose hearts has he put into? Okay, the 10 horns. So you look at what's going on in Europe today, in Western Europe especially today, which is represented by the 10 horns, and you see what's happening to them today. They're being destroyed just in the same way America is, only they're further along and they are closer to her power, and she has more power over them than she does here in America, because, you know, America is a rebel nation to the Antichrist. Okay. So they're going to see. Their eyes, it must come about. God is going to put it in their hearts to do his will, to carry out this judgment. So it will turn at some point that they will recognize her and blame her for everything that is coming upon them right now, for everything that they are suffering. And they will turn on her, and it said, describes a complete destruction at the seat of the beast, where the whore is seated on the beast. They shall hate the whore, yeah, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put into their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree and to give their kingdoms unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So this is, they're getting their just due now for agreeing and giving their kingdoms unto the beast power. But when they see what she has done with that power that they have given her, when they finally recognize that she is the source of all of their woes, all of their suffering, then they will turn on her and destroy her. and that final judgment will come before Armageddon. Yes. But Armageddon truly is the last judgment on the earth. But that one happens after Jesus returns. Okay, so I'm talking about judgments before Jesus returns. And this seems to be the final one here. The judgment that falls on the seat of the beast, on the whore that is riding the beast, her seat of power, and not only the seat of power, but her seats of power throughout the earth can expect that judgment to fall on them and anywhere that she has power and authority. The kings, the ten horn powers, and wherever they have extended into the whole earth, I believe will turn where she is in the whole earth, so that it will be not just one locality, but that will be the primary locality, will be the Vatican for that judgment, but wherever else she is in the earth, they will suffer too. Because I feel like this will be some type of mob judgment, some type of a mad mob judgment. You've seen it demonstrated. We had our Summer of Love in 2020, they called it, mostly peaceful demonstrations. Remember how that was? Well, that was mob judgment. Okay, that would be a picture of mob judgment. And how I believe I see this turning out, that they will make her desolate and naked. She'll have nowhere to go, no place on the face of the earth to go, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Complete desolation of her. Completely desolate and naked. Certainly the annihilation of the great whore here expressed must take place before the perdition or destruction of the seven-headed, ten-horned beast power at some time intermediate and leading up to the return of Jesus with all of his saints. For it is the imposition of the kingdom of God, with Jesus at its head, which supplants all of the kingdoms of men at that great day. See Daniel 2, speaking of Daniel 2, very instructive on interpreting the revelation and future prophecy, because everything must fit into the template that Daniel 2 presents from Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Okay. By the powerful influence which God hereby demonstrates he has over the minds of great men, their hearts were in his hand, and he turned them as he pleased. For one, it was of God, and to fulfill his will that these kings agreed to give their kingdom unto the beast. They were judicially blinded and hardened to do so, and two, it was of God that afterwards their hearts were turned against the whore, to hate her, and to make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They shall at length see their folly, and how they have been bewitched. Now this is from, I believe, who is this from? Matthew Henry. Yeah, I'm quoting here. So Matthew Henry agrees with me. He says, it was of God that afterwards their hearts were turned against the whore, to hate her, and to make her desolate and naked, and to eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They shall at length see their folly, and how they have been bewitched and enslaved by the papacy, and, out of just resentment, shall not only fall off from Rome, but shall be made the instruments of God's providence for her destruction. Yes, indeed. We're coming on the end of the hour here. I have a text number here. If anyone has any comments, questions, they need clarification, or you think you have something else that is appropriate to our topic today, I would gladly hear from you. So you can text me at that number anytime during the live broadcast, or actually any time of day or night. But I only see the text when I'm here in the studio, so... Know that I not sitting here and I can't answer things right away. Okay, but yeah, especially during live broadcasts, we accept texts, comments, questions, observations, agreements, or even, challenges. Okay, so we're going to talk about the seven heads and the seven kings, an examination when we get back from some messages. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live Prophecy Reality Edition, live on a Wednesday morning. And this will be posted later for anyone who missed it. And sorry I did not get the YouTube stream started today. My producer, like I said, isn't getting paid enough to pay attention, I guess. Because, that would be me. Really, I just have too much to do, and I neglect to start the YouTube streams. And there doesn't make sense to start them in the middle of the broadcast. So, yeah, I'll send them a teaser and make them come over and watch it on Rumble. Yeah, that's the way that works. Okay. You in the chat room, we don't know who you are, but I believe you're logged on as Maryville in the live traffic feed over there. Anyway, it'd be nice to have a name for you. And yeah, thank you for that. It says the video went kind of wanky at 26, 27 minutes in the first hour. So anyway, appreciate that. But I guess everything's okay now. Looks like everything is doing well. My monitor says I'm streaming at full steam ahead. And anywhere, there's the music, so I'm going to take a little break and I will be back. Don't go anywhere.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Nicholas Arthur, and I'd like to introduce you to my latest book, Reformed Prophecy Interpretation, an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism in the 21st century. As with primitive biblical Christianity, historicism is the method of prophecy interpretation restored with the advent of the Protestant Reformation, and had become so widely held that for a long time it was called the Protestant view. My book is not so much about the errors of dispensationalism or amillennialism. Rather, it is about the historicist alternative to understanding many of the same passages from the vantage point of prophecy fulfilled in history. for those that desire more than mere hypotheses, bolstered with conjectured speculation, those who require explicit biblical exegesis and verified historical fulfillment, and are not willing to accept speculation as anything other than what it is. Speculation, not truth. This book is for you. Over the last century, this method of interpretation has become almost completely forgotten, even by Protestants, in the face of a method that is based almost entirely on future speculation, rather than fulfilled prophecy and history. In my book, I examine the reasons for this and investigate some of the prophecy which has been fulfilled in the interim, as well as present an apology for Reformed premillennial historicism to the 21st century. If you're interested in a copy of my book, you can go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and get more information there. Or you may also find it at Amazon. Okay, we are back. Whoops, what was that? Oh, hit the wrong button there. Let's try, there we go, there it is. And here I am back for another hour on this chapter 17 of the Revelation. And this book is available on Amazon and at Lulu Press. Also, you can actually get it for free. Imagine that. If you go to our First Amendment Radio Rumble channel, and let's see, you go to our homepage. Let me show you that. Open link in new tab. There it is. There's the First Amendment Radio homepage on Rumble. And if you go to the playlist tab there, and you scroll down, you'll see it here somewhere. Oh, right there. It says an exposition of the Revelation. And it's a chapter by chapter after an introduction chapter, which we call introduction. Then chapter one is, there's a chapter for each of the chapters of the Revelation after that. But this is the Audible version, which you can also buy or get if you have an Audible account on Amazon. It's available to you there for free, or you can purchase it there. But here it's for free on Rumble. Imagine that. Yeah. So the whole book is there anyway. And also, there's a three-book set. I call it the, it's called the, what is it called? It's called the Revelation Enigma Decoded. And book one is The Beast Apocalyptic. Okay. And book two, of course, is the exposition of the Revelation, which we're using today. And finally, the third book of the trilogy is The Millennium Question. But all of those are available in one volume. If you're interested in that for your library, for your reference library, would be a good addition to your reference library from Lulu Press. Or you can buy the three separate volumes, which many people do on Amazon. So, and there are also the three separate volumes are available at Lulu Press, too. But you can find links to all that at my website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com. Okay. Good to see Bob from PA in the Rumble chat room. Got one person in the Rumble chat room. Yeah. And there's, and you in the chat room, somebody from Maryland or Maryville area, wherever that is, I'm guessing, because that's all I have. Whoever it is hasn't changed their name from you to whatever their name is. But you, if you click on that little green people icon there, you can change your name. I think I need to get everyone migrated to one chat room. And so I'm going to... I think that should be the Rumble chat room. Yeah, we're going to migrate people to one chat room. That would be the one. I want to move away from YouTube because they're shadow banning me there on Rumble. We get on our First Amendment Radio channel on Rumble, we get about 4 or 5 new subscribers every day, whereas on YouTube we can either lose a couple a month or gain 3 or 4 a month rather than 3 or 4 a day. So we are being severely shadow banned on YouTube, and there's nothing I can do about it at all, because no matter what I do, if I open up a new channel or anything, everything I have is shadow banned severely on Google, YouTube's Google, or Google's YouTube, I should say. Okay, let's jump back into it. An exposition of the Revelation, chapter 17, Judgment of the Great Whore and the Seven Kings. Okay? And that's the section we're starting now. Seven heads and seven kings, an examination. The seven kings and several observations on their relation to the sea beast. Revelation 17:8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. It's almost a riddle, is it not? Okay. If taken as verse 10, and they are, meaning the seven heads, verse 9, are the seven kings, a double meaning could result. And one, the previously described famed seven hills of Rome on which the woman sitteth, and the other as follows, or both may be allowed by the text and the original language. It is true that the beast does in time come to dominate all seven beast power localities having to do with Israel and the church, Egypt through the chapter 13 earth beast, its own inclusive, before it goes to perdition. However, the fact that it seems to originate with all seven heads and does not begin with 6 inclusive and gain the 7th later serves to create doubt about the double meaning. Perhaps we should consider that the beast appeared with 10 horns, which did not come into power until the Caesars fell and the man of sin rose up. We, however, may only speculate upon the seven hills being synonymous with the seven-hilled city, and either proposition is compatible with our interpretation. So I determine it best to leave off the query for our purpose, there being no further explicit revelation from the several texts. Scripture defined beast power. The meaning in this is easily seen insofar as the symbol itself is concerned, by reference to the statement so emphatically made and repeated respecting the beast when exhibited in the vision of chapter 13, that one of its heads appeared to have been wounded, as it were, to death by a sword, but that this deadly wound was healed. The healing of this purportedly deadly wound would account for the seeming disappearance, was and is not, of the Roman or papal headship of the beast, and the intermediate appearance, then dominance, of the 7th king beast of verse 10, which must be the same as the chapter 13 earth beast, it being the only... It being the only mention of an additional beast power. Okay, did you get that? Okay. We'll do that again. We'll read that again. We'll back up here a little bit. The healing of this purportedly deadly head wound would account for the seeming disappearance, was and is not, of the Roman or papal headship of the beast, and the intermediate appearance, then dominance, of the seventh king, beast, of verse 10, which must be the same as chapter 13, earth beast, it being the only mention of an additional beast power. Okay? So the chapter 13, earth beast, must be the seventh beast enumerated, because it is the only additional beast that is mentioned in the Revelation. So it must fill that spot as the seventh. Okay? Which comes alongside and helps the wounded beast's head healing and its reappearance as the eighth, one of the seven. So there's only seven. The eighth is one of the seven reappearing after it seemed to disappear for a while, being the deadly head wound, okay, as it were to death, but it didn't die. It came back to life. Okay. Which comes, let's see, where did we leave off here? It being enumerated as the eighth indicates that it does not look or operate as it did before during its 1260-year overt rule, but somehow rules stealthily, perhaps in the shadows. The well-known term shadow government comes to mind here. So that's why I always say the shadow government works for the Antichrist. The scripture tells me so. That's how I can interpret. That's the best interpretation that I could come up with. For the was and is not the shadow government. There is somehow that it's different and rules vicariously in the world somehow. Because there's that intrigue, that statement of intrigue. With the development of history and our present state of the world powers, it has become apparent that the only indispensable meaning suitable in the seven heads, verse 9, would include the representation of all of the seven beast power localities this final head would come to dominate over its life before going into perdition. Any contrary speculations must ignore the verse 11 text identification and of the eighth king, Basileus, as a beast, Therion in the Greek. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth. Therefore, not merely a type or style of governing in the selfsame Roman beast power, as many have speculated, and especially necessary for the preterist thesis. Verses 10 and 11 are rather an enumeration and recapitulation of individual dominating beast or therion in the Greek powers, of which the eighth cannot be the seventh, the chapter 13 earth beast, but must be the sixth, the Roman power contemporary with John, because it is Rome, and already defined by Daniel 2 as the great iron empire or portion of the mystery Babylon image as being destroyed by the coming of Christ to set up his kingdom. And in Daniel chapter 7, as the fourth and last dominating beast power, therefore must be identified as the same described in Revelation 17 as going into perdition. Okay, let's see. Andy Scheister in the chat, Anvil Striker in the chat room, says the Earth Beast is another beast. Well, yeah, it's not. It's another beast, being it's not the Sea Beast. In the context of chapter 13, the only other beast mentioned in the chapter is the Sea Beast at the beginning. So the Earth Beast is another beast. Okay. It says not associated with the seven heads or ten horns. Yeah, well, it's not, well, it's definitely becomes associated with them because they become associates at the end of the chapter. So I don't know what you mean by not associated. Not a division of, if that's what you're trying to say, of the seven heads or ten horns. Well, I would say that they're definitely not a division of the sea beast. That's what David Wilcoxon says. He believes that the earth beast is a division of the sea beast. But we learn from the scripture itself, and that's why I published The Beast Apocalyptic, to settle that question of the beast powers, that a beast never divides. Any division of a beast is given to us in the as horns or heads on that beast. So a beast itself does not divide into several beasts, because it could only divide into the same thing. But any divisions in a beast power locality, because that's what the beast represents, it represents the governing powers in a certain locality on the earth. And we see that the beasts, the sea beasts, all of the beasts of the Old Testament of Daniel, they conquered each other in succession and assimilated each other. So beasts only assimilate, they don't divide. Any division in a beast is given to us as horns. And that's why you have the beast with 10 horns, because there's 10 divisions of power within the beast, but they do not become separate beasts. Whereas we see the sea beast is made up of several beasts because it conquered and assimilated. But the seventh beast, it rises in a different locality. Okay, so there's no necessity of it assimilating and conquering the sixth beast before it. But the scripture tells us that the seventh or earth beast, or two-horned earth beast, the seventh beast, comes alongside of and helps the sea beast. And so that's how we see it play out in history, the seventh beast or the two-horned earth beast being the United States of America. Right, a separate kingdom. Okay, so we're agreed. Just the associated with got that clarified anyway for anyone. So anyway, moving back to our text here. Where we left off. Okay, Daniel 2, Daniel 7, as the fourth beast and dominating beast power, therefore it must be identified as the same described in Revelation 17 as going to perdition. Yes, that's right. Identifying the chapter 17 enumerated beast powers. Number 1, Rome. The Revelation 13 sea beast is described as having leopard, bear, and lion features. These features being those of the three Daniel 7 sea beasts that preceded in succession and were conquered and assimilated by it. This would account for four of the seven kings or beasts. Okay. 2. Revelation 17:11 enumerates seven beast powers total in succession, with one reasserting itself at the end, being numbered as the eighth, one of the seven. 3. The sixth, being contemporary with John, necessitates reaching back in history, in the history of Daniel and Israel, for the previous five world or Israel dominating ruling powers, of which only the three immediately previous are expressly named as beasts in Daniel 7. Shared attributes. We must intently examine the shared attributes of the four explicitly named sea beast powers, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, before we can identify who the remaining three or unnamed beasts are. Each of these four sea beast powers were individually original powers when they rose up. Remember, we're examining the shared attributes of the four explicitly named sea beast powers. Each of these four sea beast powers were individually original powers when they rose up. 2. Each then conquered and assimilated the ones before them and dominated the territory and people of its predecessors, having risen up from the same locality, the sea or waters. the interpretation of the symbols waters from Revelation 17:15 as peoples, multitudes, and nations and tongues verifies the like symbol as referring to the old world locality where the flood symbol would represent conquest or warfare. Okay. Three, and most importantly, none of these beast divisions, and most importantly, none of these beasts are a division of any of those preceding it. They only assimilate. And four, they all dominated the Israel of God. Before Christ, national Israel. After Christ, the church, the supernational Israel of God, along with the other nations around them. Okay, somebody just tried to call in. And, if you want to call in, you have to text me your name and number first, and then follow that with a call if you're a first-time caller. Thank you for that. Anyway, it would be better to just text me right now if you have any comments or questions. Okay, we have another one. And, yes, indeed. Gee, somebody just wants to interrupt me here for some reason. Yeah, trying really hard. So, anyway, I missed another call there. That's two missed calls. Yeah, in the same minute. And from two different numbers, I think. Let's see. Oh, that says yesterday. Okay, this one says today. Yeah. Okay, I'm not even going to mess with it. Okay. All right, get back here. The shared attributes. We must intently examine the shared attributes of the four explicitly named CB's powers, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, before we can identify who the remaining beasts, three or unnamed beasts, are. They were individual original powers when they rose up. They conquered and assimilated the ones before them and dominated the territory and people of its predecessors. Number three, and most importantly, none of these beasts are division of any of those preceding it. They only assimilate. Okay? That's the pattern we get from the scripture. So that's what we have to run with. So a beast doesn't divide. They only assimilate. You don't get new beasts. One beast doesn't turn into two beasts. Sorry, David Wilcoxon, that just cannot be supported by Scripture. Number four, they all dominated the Israel of God before Christ, national Israel. After Christ, the church, the supernatural Israel of God, along with the other nations around them. There yet remain two unnamed beast powers preceding the four sea beasts of Daniel 7. These were previously named as Egypt and Assyria, both meeting the criteria as original powers and dominating national Israel immediately before Babylon, by whom they were both, along with Israel, conquered and assimilated. After Rome, concurrent with John, the one yet future is not yet come, can only be enumerated as the seventh, as it remains otherwise unnamed by the text itself. The Revelation, specifically chapter 13, has the only mention of an additional beast power rising up, so must be our seventh king beast. The scripture leaves us no other alternative. Equipped with this revelation, we may now inquire into the identity of this seventh king beast power. See chapter 13, Rise of the Two-Horned Earth Beast. So, and I believe that's the end of the chapter. So we have to go to chapter 13 to see, and we know it is America. Okay? And we're coming up on a break here. So, I guess we're just going to have a discussion in the next half hour. So now if you want to text me and call in, you people who refuse to text me first with your name and where you're from at this number, then I will answer a call. If you have called in before and already given me your name and number, it will pop up on the screen when you call in from the same number. If you're calling in from a new number, you have to let me know. Okay? That's all there is to that. I don't have enough money to afford a call screener, so that's the way we have to work it, and it's fine with me. All right, just looking right, A Separate Kingdom says Anti-Shyster is the only one talking to me today, and Bob from PA says it's me, no bucks. Hi, Nicholas. Yeah, I figured that was, you're the only, no bucks 71 is the only Bob I know from PA. I used to know another Bob in PA, but I'm sure you're not him. I'm not even sure if he's alive today because he was in such poor health. Last time I saw him, he came by here about 10 years ago. He was homeless and traveling the country, I guess, for, yes, I think he had terminal cancer, but I don't know what happened to him or haven't heard from him, so it's hard to assume anything, but you're not him, that's for sure. So anyone, come on over to the Rumble chat room if you're listening anywhere. Trying to get everyone into one chat room, that would be nice, or the First Amendment Radio chat room, either way. Okay, I did hear my tone there. So we'll come back and we'll discuss it for a half hour. I'll be back in a minute or two.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our listen and schedule pages on the internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the third temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the third temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple? on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.
All right, I'm back. Let's see, Bob from PA says, why is there no one else here? I'm here, and we do have Anti-Shyster over in the First Amendment Radio chat room, and but no one else. I didn't hook up on YouTube today. I simply left a link to Rumble in the YouTube chat rooms, because I'm not streaming there today. I think it's an indication that subconsciously I need to pull away from YouTube completely, since they're so conveniently shadow banning everything I do. I think it's a hard enough sell in the world to sell historicism as it is. Some people might object because I don't take into account the rapture. Yeah. Anyway, okay, so we're looking at the judgment of the great whore as the second thing that has to happen before Christ returns. Two major events, two major prophecies that have left to be fulfilled before Christ comes and the great day of God Almighty, as it's referred to in the scripture itself, and the Battle of Armageddon, which will be when the whole world comes against Christ and his saints, where he lands in the Mideast. For the people in Israel, well, those Ashkenazim Jews that run the country over there, and with all of the people in the land with them, whether they be Christian, atheist, or what do you call them, Sephardim, or what do they call those true believers in the Old Testament? Torah believing Jews, yeah, Orthodox Jews, yeah. Whatever they are, they're over there in the land. And of course, any Christians in the land, be they in Gaza or be they in anywhere in Israel or anywhere on the face of the earth, when Christ returns, they will all be caught up to meet him in the air and return with him. Some of them will be doing a U-turn and coming back down to near the same ground, but the difference is they'll be coming back with Jesus in new glorified bodies, resurrected bodies that will live forever, and the second death will have no power over us once we are raised from the dead at the return of Christ. And not raptured. Yes, we will be caught up. We will be harpazoed. But that's all the rapture is. It's just the catching up part. It's not another resurrection like they've made it out to be. They invented it and relabeled it and gave it a new meaning and turned it into another resurrection, another anastasis, which the scripture doesn't support. So anyway, So we have this here, this first the kings of the east, which seems to me materializing in the earth right now. It's in the news every day now that these kings of the east, these ruling powers directly east of Western Christendom, are very angry. Yeah. And it seems that the people in power are mad, especially in Washington, D.C., and Europe, you know, with NATO. It seems these people are mad. It's like they're going, yeah, sure, bomb us, you know, drop nukes on us, see if we care. And it seems like they don't care. It seems like they're just mad and drunk with power and money and greed and corruption, so that they keep prodding the kings of the East. And so it seems somewhat irrefutable, the way things are turning out, that the prophecy is going to come true. And I expect it to, because every prophecy before it has come true. You know, don't believe these futurists when they tell you Daniel's 70 weeks wasn't fulfilled in the 70 weeks, as the prophecy said. That 490-year period came to pass, and everything that was to happen in it happened in it. And it said some things would happen after it, and they happened too, in the prophecy itself. But everything, all of the six things listed that should happen within the 70 weeks, 490 years, did come to pass. And I would debate anybody on the topic. Of course, I don't think any of them will ever debate me, because they wouldn't want their people to hear what I have to say. Yeah, but I would challenge them. Who's your best out there? Well, what's his name? Very prominent today. I would debate any of them on the 70 weeks, whether it's fulfilled or not, at any time. Yeah. So there's my challenge. Do I need to send them a formal challenge? I'll get my people on it right away. Of course, I have no people. Well, yes, I have no people that I'm paying to do anything here. Let's see. Okay. So we see that coming up soon. And so we have this judgment coming from the kings of the east. People are calling it now World War III. If you go over to True News, he'll tell you World War III is already underway as far as he's concerned. And many others are saying, yes, World War III started. And maybe that will be, if we have this kings of the east thing come up, which is a certainty because the scripture says it will, and then they call that World War III, well, then they will have to say that it began when the CIA overthrew the lawfully elected government of the Ukraine, because that's where it began. Yeah. And who is the CIA? Well, I got a friend that likes to call them Catholics in Action, but not referring to the regular Catholic normal people like my parents were, and many of your parents were, and some of you may even be Catholics today. But we're talking about the hierarchy in the Catholic Church, right? The Nicolaitan structure, the hierarchy of it, sitting at Rome and with its shadow government ruling the world. And that's what we're talking about. Those are the Catholics in Action in Washington, D.C. Because Washington, D.C., as we've discussed many, many times, is owned by the Vatican. They run it. They own it. It was their idea. They set it up. They brought it about. And the reason that they brought it about, because they love concentration of power. Because when you concentrate power, it is easier to corrupt. And you have the masters of corruption at the Vatican. And they perfected their craft for 1260 years. And they learned some hard lessons too. That's why they work now behind the scenes. And that's why the 10 horned divisions of the 10 powers of Western Europe don't see now. But they should see. History showed them everything they needed to see. but somehow they forgot. But the scripture reveals to us that God is going to enter into their heart. They are going to see. I like the way Matthew Henry, was it Matthew Henry that I quoted? Yeah, I like the way Matthew Henry put it. Let me see if I can find that again. Yes, back here somewhere. I think it was footnote number one. Yeah, Matthew Henry says, what did he say? He said, by the powerful influence which God hereby demonstrates he has over the minds of great men, their hearts were in his hand, and he turned them as he pleased, for, one, it was of God to fulfill his will that these kings agreed to give their kingdom unto the beast. They were judicially blinded and hardened to do so. And two, it was of God that afterwards their hearts were turned against the whore, to hate her, and to make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. They shall at length, this is it here, they shall at length see their folly, trusting the whore, following along with her, being manipulated by her and her shadow government, and how they have been bewitched and enslaved. Are they? I mean, is Western Europe bewitched and enslaved right now? That seems to be a very crisp and succinct description of what has happened to Western Europe, the NATO nations. They are bewitched and enslaved, and they don't see it yet, but he says, at length they shall see their folly and how they have been bewitched and enslaved by the papacy, and out of a just resentment shall not only fall off from Rome, but shall be made the instruments of God's providence in her destruction. Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Matthew Henry. When did he write that? Some 500 years ago? Or when did he? Yeah, long time ago, but it's happening today and so easy to see. Yeah. Okay, we'll see you later then, Bob. Yeah. He says, there's no one else here. I know. Yeah, sorry about that. I just guess I don't command the audience I would like to, but it's up to the Lord. Most people cannot endure it. I'm not teaching them the rapture could happen any day and you will escape all of the judgment of the entire book of Revelation. Be very afraid. Be very afraid. Yeah, that's all they've got to sell is be very afraid. Fear-mongering and selling their Antichrist lie from the Jesuit Ribera of an end-time Antichrist. Of course, to cover for the true Antichrist of history. So, anyway, that's... let's see, I lost it. Where was that at? Okay, there we are. Too many tabs here. So, love what Matthew Henry wrote there. I mean, he couldn't see the future, but here he is telling us we're seeing it now. We see what they're doing, that they have, they will at length see their folly. We see the folly. They are bewitched and enslaved by the shadow government that works for the Antichrist. Just look at it. These people are making unrational decisions. Decisions for the destruction of their own nations, their own economies, their own people. It's just like America. You know, Americans are working hard, paying 30% more, going to add another 30% in the next 10 years or 5 years, or it'll take less time. To do what? What is this folly that we see going on around us? Our people are bewitched. They don't even know that there are only two genders anymore. That's how bewitched they are. The folly of it all. And to pay. I have this article here. I talked about this article last night. This was in Not the Bee. And how we're paying billions upon billions of dollars. We're giving this one, organization, we have money, $7.3 billion this year going to the ORR, okay, from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to do what? To bring as many people madly into the country from other countries illegally as possible. But it isn't Joe Biden who wants this. Joe Biden didn't think this up and thought this would be a great idea, because nobody in their right mind would think this is a great idea. But these people are drunk on the money, and they're drunk on the power, and they are bewitched by the whore that rides the beast. Because she has the money power. Those bankers, those Rothschild bankers, those are her bankers. Yeah. She has learned how to operate in the shadows. When the scripture says, all the world wondered after the beast that was and is not, yet is. You know, what does that mean? Was and is not and yet is? That's a description of intrigue in world government. And that's what we have today, intrigue. I mean, who knows? I mean, where is Joe Biden getting these billions of dollars to funnel through the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services to bring as many people into this country by the millions? I don't know what, more than, they're suggesting 10 to 20 million over the last 3 years have been imported to America. And this is costing, through these NGOs, I don't know, what, hundreds of billions of dollars? And you wonder why your dollar doesn't buy anything anymore? Because they don't have gold and silver. They don't have real money. So they have to create it out of thin air. And all of this money just waters down the money that's already in circulation. We know how inflation works. We know how it comes about. And this is exactly how it comes about. So you are paying not only in taxes, but you are paying in inflation. And you will continue to pay. But the good news is that Christ is coming back. Well, it's not imminent. Okay, sorry. There's no rapture. There's no imminent rapture or return of Christ secretly to take you out of the world before all the bad stuff happens. The truth is that most of the bad stuff in the Revelation has already happened. There are a few bad things left. We're talking about the kings of the East. And then there's a regular tribulation. Some people have greater tribulation in the earth. Just ask the people in Hamas that don't want the war from either side. They're having great tribulation now. And some people have lesser tribulation. I mean, if your tribulation is only that you have to pay higher prices for food and tighten your belt, then you should count yourself blessed. Yeah. But that you're doing, that you have that to pay for all of this corruption, is only indicative of the times that we are in and how close we are getting, how much closer we are getting to the consummation of all things. So we are not going to escape World War III, if that's what they want to call what's building up over there in Eurasia right now, with between Western Europe and Asia, the kings of the East, and will likely affect the whole world, if not directly with destruction and warfare, but definitely financially, it could be as worse or as bad, but maybe not as, say, the Great Depression. I mean, if the world reserve currency falls, then yes, it will be bad as the Great Depression, which did affect the whole earth. But, you know, pray that God gives you the wisdom to survive through it, you know, by having some food stores or being able to provide for yourself is a good thing. Being in the right place is a good thing. You know, I would be praying and say, God, should I move? If you're worried about where you're at, And then even if you're not worried about where you're at, you should be praying about, God, should I move somewhere else? I've done that several times, and it seems that God wants me to stay right where I'm at, so I feel safe where I'm at. And it doesn't matter, even if a nuclear bomb dropped on my head, it wouldn't matter, because I'll be resurrected. So I already have eternal life through Christ Jesus. I have the down payment. So my salvation is assured. And I pray that you all have the same assurance that only comes by His Spirit. That would be my prayer for you all. And I do pray, and I ask the Heavenly Father, please help me in my understanding of what's coming on the earth so that I can share it with whoever you appoint to listen to what I say. If I'm wrong, please help me, Father, to get a correct understanding and a correct interpretation, and to see the error of my ways, and to see how I erred, and what my where my judgment and my interpretation is faulty. Because that's all I want, is the truth. And that's all I want for anyone who listens to me. I definitely do not want to lead myself or anyone else astray. So I can't teach you that you will be secretly raptured out in a third resurrection that's not in the Word of God. And I cannot put gaps in the Bible where God does not put them. Simply cannot do that. I would be afraid of the judgment of God that God specifically says will come on those who add to or take away from His Word. I do not and cannot do that. So what the things I'm saying are serious, and I believe that God has given me the message and shown me the truth of the interpretation. And we are near the end. We have two major events that will take place before Christ returns, and one of them seems to be developing very rapidly before our eyes. And I specifically talked about that last week, so if you didn't see that broadcast, go over it again and listen to, open up your Bible and listen to last week's broadcast. It's there at my website. If you go to my website there, how do I get there? I should have a quick link to my website here, but I don't. There we go. Yeah, right there. And you'll see the live this morning and the far out, my last Nick at Night. That was last night. But there it is, three posts down. The Kings of the East, Judgment on Apostate Western Christendom. And I believe that extends to wherever Western Christendom has extended to today. So you can listen to that broadcast. Tell me what you think. Please leave a comment there on my website. That's nicholasarthur.wordpress.com or crosstheborder.org. We'll get you there too. Okay. Oh, we're running out of time quick. I want to thank you, Guy, for showing up late as it is. Adam Baum would a down pay. Where do I find the Matthew Henry passage? Well, you would find that in Matthew Henry's commentary, and his commentary specifically on Revelation chapter 17. Yeah, that would be easy to find if you want to find it there. I quoted it in my book because of how relevant it was, and I guess you see the relevancy of it since you're asking. America caused them that dwell on the earth to form the United Nations in the image of the beast. Yes, true. Yeah, that would be in chapter 13 of my book on the exposition of the Revelation. Like I said, the audible there is on Rumble. In the Rumble playlist, you can find this book, and I read it to you for free, okay? But if you have an Audible account on Amazon, you can listen to it for free on Amazon through your regular listening avenues. You can listen to all of my books are on Audible. So if you're paying for Audible, then I will get paid if you listen on Amazon if you already have an Audible account. So please do it if you have an Audible account. Listen on Audible. They'll pay me. If you listen on Rumble, they don't pay me. Unless you give. And if you're on Rumble right now, there's a below the chat, there's a dollar sign there and there's a subscribe. You can give one time by pressing on the dollar symbol there, or you can subscribe monthly there. It's almost like subscribing on PayPal. Okay, it's about the same thing and works about the same way. And that way Rumble makes a little bit of money. I think it's like 3% or something. And I would not begrudge them of that for the service they're providing us. Okay, well, there I heard my tone, and thank you all for showing up. May the Almighty bless you and keep you as you travel on the narrow way that leads to life. I'll see you next time. Love you all. Secrets of the Rapture. Is there a 500-year-old conspiracy? A propaganda machine so pervasive and entrenched, yet so elusive that the entire world could be taken in by it, working in plain sight, but unseen by the world for what it truly is? If prophecy is God-given history in advance, why does the prophecy that has conquered the age also exclude nearly 2,000 years of history? What is it that they are afraid that the light of history will reveal? To understand our place in time and prophecy, we must look in history for an interpretation, that which stands the test of time, that which agrees with the Word of God, and history has proven to be true. When cunning fables and fearful speculations are removed from our sight, then we may clearly see what is truly expressed in Bible prophecy, both that which has been fulfilled and that which has yet to come. God's express word is the sword that must be wielded to remove the scales from the eyes and dispel the darkness of deceitful conjecture. Secrets of the Rapture was written to expose that which the spirit of the age has conjured out of the darkness to blind the eyes of the church in the world today. Secrets of the Rapture, Deconstructing Pre-Tribulation Dispensational Futurism by yours truly, Nicholas Arthur, is now available at lulu.com and Amazon. Secrets of the Rapture.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.